ESPN Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing, a.k.a. Just Munson, behind the glass, hanging out. Good Thursday morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
We are, well, yeah, I could say we are.
How are our spirits? No, that's a Penn State thing, dude. You can't say we are.
Yeah.
That's copyrighted, I think.
Well, but he's a Michigan State guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
You can't say... You're like, how you guys doing? I'm like, roll tie. Like, that wouldn't work.
Oh, we rolling, baby.
Go black. Go red. Because we our station's black and red.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm rocking and topping it.
See, but here's the problem. If you have to explain it, Derek, it's normally not good.
Exactly.
It's like all of my jokes. Yeah. Like, I tell all the jokes, and then I have to explain them to people, and people are like, dude, if you have to explain it, it's not funny. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm not funny.
Yeah, you got a point.
I'm way too serious all the time, apparently. So it's just the nature of the beast. Nashville Predators back on the ice tonight on the road. A little up and back to the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres. They'll go up there and take on Buffalo. And then back home for an unusual start time, 5:30 on Saturday against the Stars. That is going to be interesting. They are chasing the Stars directly in the standings. They are down by 6 points right now. So if they can pick up two tonight, they can maybe enter that game against Dallas with a chance to cut that margin to a small number, which is, again, they just got to keep kind of staying the course here. They've righted the ship with a couple of wins against New Jersey, and then again against San Jose, but those are not great teams. But you pick up 4 points, and you're 5-1-2 in your last eight. UC Saros was great. The power play scored. You're starting to feel a little mojo moving and working. It's headed in the right direction, at least for now. Doesn't mean they're not going to deal with adversity moving forward.
No.
But if you can just stay the course, take care of Buffalo, pick up a couple of points, and get back home on Saturday night against Dallas, I think that game becomes even bigger. If you're coming into it on a 3-game winning streak, that would make them 6-1-2 if they win tonight in their last nine. That's a hell of a record over 9 games.
Yeah, it is. Then NSA, preview of the Winter Classic, too. So there you go. No, this team can start to stack wins on top of wins. It would be nice to end the year on a nice little winning streak for the Nashville Predators. What are your New Year's resolutions? Or we renamed them, didn't we?
Yes.
We renamed them. They're not resolutions anymore.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was just about to say, I don't think anyone should say New Year's resolutions anymore.
No.
And my reason behind that is you're setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
If you're calling it a resolution, that means you have to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Or it's quote unquote a failure.
Exactly.
It's a New Year's intention.
Yeah, these are my intentions.
These are my intentions. And so, then you just give yourself some wiggle room.
Exactly.
Every now
not too much wiggle room, but some wiggle room.
No, you can have like a cheat day. You know what I mean?
So the Nashville Predators New Year's intention should be to end the season, to end the New Year's. In the old year on a winning streak so they can enter into the new year with intentions on continuing to climb up the charts. And I sound like a record or something. He's climbing up the pop charts. He was number 8. Now he's number 7. Yeah. That's what they – I mean, this team is – they've sort of figured some things out. And I know, when they get fully healthy as a team – then they can kind of start, making that push run. But right now, they're steady digging themselves out of a hole. They got some points the other night. And what you want to do at least is to build points on top of points. You can't, go into a game and come out of it with nothing.
And this is the start of a very, very difficult stretch. Buffalo right now, I don't think people realize this, in second place in the Atlantic Division. They are 9-3-3 at home. They're a tough team at home, and they're playing good hockey right now. 5-2-3 in their last 10. This is a team that's, I think, better than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to go up there and play in a tough environment against a good team tonight, and that's a critical situation. And then you got to come back against a good team against Dallas. The issue with the reason that these two games feel so important and to keep the ship sort of pointed in the right direction for me is you followed up with a 4-game road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And the 4-game road trip, listen, it's got the Islanders in there. There is some good teams on that road trip. It's going to be a tough road trip. And so you sort of need to put some money in the bank a little bit here tonight and Saturday night, even though those are also good teams. So it's going to be tricky. This is not New Jersey and San Jose that they're playing in the next 5-6 games. They are going to play a much more difficult schedule. So if they can get through this 6-game stretch through the end of this week and next week, heading towards the Winter Classic and picking up points all along the way, you start to – because then you'd tack good hockey onto the back of other good hockey. And so then you're starting to build some momentum at that point. So this is a really critical six-game stretch coming up here for the Nashville Predators, and it starts tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. Of course, again, Buffalo second place in the division. Pre-game at 5, puck drop at 6, I believe. So a little earlier there. Mm-hmm. Gotta love those East Coast time starts. For those of us who get up very early in the morning,
yeah, you gotta love it.
I love the East Coast time starts. Just give me that extra hour, I'm good.
An extra hour, whew.
I'm good. All right, so every day we've been giving away a $100 gift card on the show to a Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa. And yesterday got a little serious, got a little heavy. You know, a lot of men and women out there that are going through a lot of stuff, that have been through a lot of stuff, that work really hard, who take care of other people, who are selfless every day and deserve a lot of attention. A little pampering this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So it got a little heavy yesterday. Marquise was he was struggling yesterday because all the heartstrings were being.
Have you guys ever seen that video of Stephon Diggs? He's like crying after he scored that touchdown, and he was like grabbing his chest, start crying, and ran off.
Is that against the Saints in the playoffs?
That was me. That was me yesterday. That was
so many people deserving. I wish we could have given them to so many people. We might do another one of those next week just so that those people that didn't win this week have another chance to win next week.
Yeah.
But we got to go back to lighthearted because it was too heavy yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Woo!
Great people out there, and it's not like we don't need to acknowledge what people go through. Most people bust their tail every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, don't have it great. So, like, adversity is a part of life, and we acknowledged it yesterday. So we're going to lighten the mood a little bit today. So, again, all the way through next Friday, we're giving away a $100 gift card every day. You got to know the Twitters, at 1025 underscore MD. At 1025 underscore MD, the question today, and I am curious to see what we get. And, Derek, no embellishment today.
Mm-hmm. No embellishment, people. None whatsoever.
We want the truth and nothing but the truth.
We know if you embellish. We know.
We have sources.
Yeah, we got the embellishment meter is sitting right next to us. It goes up when you're embellishing.
Just the BS meter.
Yeah.
So here's the question, and I don't think this has happened to any of the three of us. I don't believe. If you got broken up with on Christmas or around Christmas or during a Christmas holiday, if somebody broke up with you, somebody ended a relationship. And I'm concerned that we're going to get into divorce.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want that part of this, but hey, that's a breakup,
hey,
right?
But it's a breakup.
If you got broken up with on Christmas, I want to know we want to know the story. We want to hear the story at 1025 underscore MD. Tell us the story of when you got broken up with. Not if you do the breaking up, I'm sorry, you don't get a gift card. If you broke up with somebody and broke someone's heart on Christmas, you are not eligible for the gift card. But if you were on the other end, what's this? You guys don't know Seinfeld, but there's one episode or a couple episodes called The Hand. Who's got the upper hand in the relationship? Who's got the hand? You know, everybody in every relationship, one person's got the hand is what they call it on Seinfeld. You know what I'm talking about. Like everybody in every relationship,
upper hand.
Somebody has the upper hand, and who's got the hand? You can't get a gift card if you had the hand.
Yeah.
So if you were breaking up with somebody, you don't get the gift card. But if you got broken up with on Christmas, and we'll fudge it a little bit, around Christmas, especially before, or maybe it happened right after because they just wanted the gift.
I've done that one time.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think I've broken up with somebody before either Valentine's Day or Christmas.
Well, it's very different.
I've had Valentine's Day before.
You broke up with somebody on Valentine's Day?
No, I got broken. Someone broke up with me before Valentine's. It was Valentine's.
On the day?
Yeah, she
did
flaked,
she break
though.
Up with you because you didn't get her anything?
No, she flaked, though. I had a big bear ready. I had chocolate.
Oh,
seriously? She flaked on me, but it was all good.
Were you in high school? Was this that?
Nah, this was like college. This was early college. Early
college.
Like,
bro.
Roll Tide, baby.
This is when Marquise didn't have a, you know, size in the shoulders, you know? This is...
Would you start lifting weights in college?
Yeah, I was like lifting weights after that. Like,
this was Marquise.
So hang on. This
so
wasn't
like Matt LaFleur there.
So what was the name of the girl that broke your heart in middle school?
Was it Misha? Yeah, it was Misha.
Misha in middle school? Is that the one that broke your heart?
No, that was the one in high school.
High school?
Right, high school.
So this wasn't, which one was worse, this one or Misha?
It had to defend Misha because she carried on for like years.
Just dragging it out?
Yeah. Like,
oh, that's not right.
It went from high school to I think I was a freshman in college and it just, I was an adult and doing, yeah, so she's still around.
Misha. Wow, Misha's stringing it along.
Oh, Misha.
All right, so. So who broke up with you? Let's just throw people under the bus. Who broke up with you?
I can't even remember her name because I didn't even like her like that.
All right, good. But you bought a big bear for her? A stuffed animal?
I mean, yes, from Rite Aid.
Hey. Maybe that's why she broke up with you.
Yeah, the damn thing from Rite Aid.
So if somebody broke up with you on Christmas, and let's say, like, we'll take a couple days before or after, so like around the Christmas holiday. But basically, when you think of this breakup, you think of Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. How did it happen? I want the worst stories. And the worst story today will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Sound good, boys?
Sounds great, man.
At 1025 _MD. How did you break up with somebody on Christmas?
It was...
You jerk.
I just broke up with her. It wasn't
you
like a...
You heartless soul.
I just broke up with her in school. This was in high school.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I haven't... Because I was married for so long, so I couldn't... Breaking up with my then wife before Christmas, that wouldn't have been good for anybody.
That's half of everything you own breaking up.
Exactly. After that, no, I haven't... As an adult, there's no.
Yeah.
As an adult, you know, one, you shouldn't be, you know, do you expect a present, you know, something before those days as an adult?
I mean, I'm married and we don't give each other presents.
Yes. I mean, if you get something, great. If you don't, then it is what it is. But I'm not breaking up with somebody because I didn't get something.
Is that weird that we
don't? Or I don't want to get them something.
Is that weird that we. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's a terrible reason.
Yeah.
Just, you don't have to. Get somebody something nice. If you care about them, you can get something thoughtful.
Exactly. Go out and do something and enjoy an experience.
No, Haley and I, we don't ever, like, birthdays and Christmas, we don't ever get each other. Valentine's Day, we don't get each other anything.
Yeah, y'all got kids now, too. So.
Like,
everything goes to
kids. Every single thing she buys is for them. It's ridiculous. If she wants, like, I do the just because gifts. I always do just because. Like, she gets flowers, like, on a Tuesday, just because. Like, that's sort of my modus operandi. She's having a bad week. She's having something she's dealing with, you know, whatever. Like, that's when I know she needs to pick me up. That's when I'll go get the flowers or get her a gift or something. We're not going to pre-orchestrate it around some marketing holiday. Now I'm getting on a soapbox. I don't want to do that. I did. My worst one was I did break up with somebody at prom, like literally at the prom.
Ooh.
Like, while we were in our, like, really ill-fitting, like when I was in my really ill-fitting tuxedo, it clearly didn't fit me right because it was the 90s, so everything was too baggy.
Oh,
and she was in the dress. Like, we were at... In fact, we might have been on the General Jackson.
Ooh.
We might have been on a boat.
Throw you over the boat.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, breaking up with somebody on a boat is a dangerous idea because you can't get away from that person.
You can't get away. She might throw you overboard. Man, goodness. You picked a fine time to throw over the boat. Did y'all drive together?
I was a dummy.
Did y'all drive
together? Yeah, I think we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a dummy.
Yeah, it's a big dummy.
Well, I was a teenage boy. Like, what?
Yeah, so yeah, you're dumb.
So by definition, I was a
dummy. Yeah, you're a dummy.
All right, your worst breakup story on Christmas, if you were the person who got broken up with, at 1025 _MD. At the end of the show, of course, about 9:30, 9:45, we'll give away a gift card, $100, to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. You got the manicures, the pedicures, the back, you know, shoulder massage, everything, full body, the whole deal. So get pampered with a gift card from a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. We'll give away that coming up. We have interesting thought here about the Tennessee Titans, and we've talked a lot about this franchise branding itself, and we talked a lot about what the Titans have done to brand themselves. I think through this process of winning, somebody else has risen and may be taking over as the brand. And we'll discuss when we return. When we return, do they need that? Is it important? And is it a surprise? We'll get to all that when we return right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive. Welcome back. Thursday edition. 6:19 a.m. Negative 12 degrees outside Nashville.
If you love me, then you hate me. That's a game for fools. That's a game for fools, baby.
That is true.
Baby, we break up.
That's the Martin breakup song right there.
Yeah, that's one of them. I'll play the other one later.
Martin.
Baby, stop breaking up with me.
I probably won't play breakup music all throughout the show because I don't want, you know, people to get in their feelings as they listen to some Tannehill talk. But I'll play them throughout sporadically throughout the show, some breakup songs.
Alondra on Twitter.
Oh, wow, it's starting already.
My childhood friend and I finally started dating when we were 25 on December 25th, 2014. I believe that's Christmas.
Yes.
Which made me move from Orlando to Clarksville.
Oh.
Welcome. Exactly.
Shoot.
Exactly. This is not good. That was a positive story.
From Orlando.
So that was the positive part of the story.
He moved.
Exactly a year later in December, he broke up with me for a girl he met in a chat. In a chat of the group game Clash of Clans that we were all in together. So I guess it's a video game online, right?
Uh-huh. I think so.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, so you got a person to move to Nashville, or I guess Clarksville, to the Middle Tennessee area.
She moved, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this guy got her to move.
She moved from sunny Orlando.
Although I'm not a huge fan of Orlando either.
Orlando's cool. More
Orlando.
So of a touristy place.
It's very
but
touristy.
It's cool, yeah.
And so got her to move up here, and then 1 year later, you break up with her because you met somebody in a video game chat room. And listen, I don't judge people. Like I used to love video games. I don't care. You meet people where
so
you meet.
So immature.
You meet people where you meet people. But that's when somebody moves. But also, if it's not going to work, it's not going to work, man. You got to be honest, right?
But you don't get them. I guess you don't get them to like move. Like you just give them to come and visit.
Right.
You know, come and visit back and forth, and then see how it is.
Now, they knew each other for a really long time, though.
Oh,
she said
they
were childhood friends, and then they finally started dating when they were 25. There's a lot of history there.
Yes.
A lot of history. I'd like to know if Alondra still talks to this person.
I'd like to know.
They
did
were
he
friends
have to
for
replace
a long
time. Some tires?
So tweet at 1025 underscore MD if you got broken up with at or around Christmas time, and if that's sort of a memory you have when this time of year comes around, and the best or worst one will get $100 gift card from A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. All right, here's the question. We ask all the time and talk all the time about the Titans and what they're doing to build their relationship with the community. We've talked a lot about, you know, the Ignite the Fire stuff, the, you know, the changing of the uniforms, you know, the stability of ownership has gone a long way to sort of start repairing the relationships with the fans, and the fans are starting to come back. But, like, there's no real excuse now to not show up to the stadium because you've got – you can't say that the offense isn't working because it's clicking on all cylinders. It's the best offense we've ever seen in a Titans uniform, in theory, statistically. I'm not saying it's better than when you played, Derek, but statistically it's achieving at a level that we've never seen before right now. And they're playing – they're three games above 500. They're in the division lead, and they're playing for a division championship on Sunday. There's just literally no excuse if you're a Titans fan not to try to go to the game if you're one of those – if you're sort of a committed fan who likes going to the games. We talk a lot about, is Taylor Lewan the face of the franchise, right? We talk about him as this larger-than-life personality. Is he the face of the franchise? And I think it's a fair question to ask if Ryan Tannehill is going to take, if he leads them to a victory this weekend, and he chucks it around like he has in every single game since he took over, and continues this stretch, they make the playoffs. Is Ryan Tannehill, who frankly does not have that much of a different personality than Marcus, He's not this flamboyant guy.
I think he's a little bit more.
He's pretty subdued. He's pretty quiet.
He seems a little bit more fiery at all times. It took a lot for him to get going, but it seems like Tannehill's just like that.
But he's not a talker, right?
He doesn't seem like
he does his press conference like Belichick. He's like, oh, really? Was that the play that AJ Brown? Oh, was that the play that we? Yeah. Oh, so it was the next drive where we stopped him and then got a 3-and-out. Yeah, that was a pretty good play call by Arthur Smith. Like he's not this flamboyant guy. Like he's just not. He not really has been. So he's not much different than Marcus. Maybe a little bit from a personality standpoint. Can he be the face of the franchise?
That is what's going to be close to the $100 million question, if not the $100 million question.
If you give him $100 million
moving forward,
I mean,
you know, for so long, this team has been searching for an identity, or trying to get that. Let's say trying to get that identity back because they've had that identity once or twice, and they just lost it. They've been trying to build it up since, you know, when Munch took over, then Malarkey, then John comes in, and now Mike. They're trying to build that this persona back up, of them being that rough, tough, you know, lunch pail type team. We are a team. We play as a team. We lose as a team. Everything we do is as a team. They're trying to build that up because they lost it. It was a bunch of individuals, guys doing their own thing. They're trying to build that back up. And, you know, when drafting Marcus Mariota, I thought that was the first step of them saying, listen, we haven't had a face of the franchise for a very long time. We've tried different guys out, different guys put on a suit, didn't fit with this guy, didn't fit with this guy. We think this guy right here, this guy that we're drafting second overall out of Oregon, this kid that's, you know, soft-spoken, you know, this is a kid that you would want your daughter to marry, yada, yada, yada. This is the guy that we want to be the face of our franchise. Here he is, Marcus Mariota, second pick of the NFL draft, 2012. Yeah. Boom.
Dude, he was on multiple Sports Illustrated covers.
Exactly.
People forget that there was a lot of, like, I know we're well past the Mariota conversation at this point, but it's not like people weren't obsessed with Mariota.
Oh, of course they were.
The first 3 years, when they got to the playoffs, those 3 years, and they went from 2 wins to 9 wins, people were in love with Mariota. He's on covers of magazines. I mean, he was a high fantasy draft pick going into his third season.
Yeah, he was starting to become what the Titans envisioned him, meaning the face of the franchise. They can, you know, when you think about the Tennessee Titans, first name comes up is Marcus Mariota. Boom. All of a sudden, it started to fizzle out. And then it was almost as if it was forced because he was the loudest guy and the most vocal guy. And not in a bad way, well, I'm saying, Taylor. And he has this bigger-than-life personality.
He's launching a media company.
He has this bigger-than-life personality. And all of a sudden, he's thrown into this, oh, he's the face of the franchise.
Is he capable of handling that?
Things go wrong. You know, this happened, this happened, suspension, everything else. So now... Yeah. Now they're like, okay, who is it? Is it Kevin Byard? Is it
Logan Ryan?
You
know, the way he's visible in the community. Uh-huh. Now I know when the season's over, he kind of dips out of town. I think Kevin Byard has a chance to be really a really big face of the franchise because he's a Middle Tennessee guy. Like I know he's from Georgia, I believe originally, but he's a Middle Tennessean like through and through now. Mm-hmm. When you play your college career and your NFL career in the same place, like, you know, he's going to have a pretty deep – he's doing all kinds of philanthropy for everybody's different organization. Like, he's got a chance to be a really big face of the franchise moving forward.
But it's hard for a defensive guy to be a face of a franchise unless you are defensive player of the year, you're in the running for MVP. We're talking Ray Lewis type stuff. Right, right. We're talking Reggie White being the face of a franchise. Right. Those type of guys on the defense, Lawrence Taylor, those are type of guys that
– just high-quality individuals
there. You think, hey, Reggie. These are the guys that are face of the franchise on the defensive side of the ball. You never really get that. Now, Aaron Donald, you could say he's the face of a franchise because of who he is and what he does.
Exactly.
He's the best player on their team. Might be the best player in the NFL. So the Titans have been looking. I think they have been searching for this for the last couple of years. Who is the face of the franchise?
See, I've got the answer to that question, and I know who it's going to be, and it's not Ryan Tannehill.
I'm going to tell you, after the break. I know, and this can this is reminiscent of some years back.
Yes.
I'm talking 15, 20 years back.
Yes, right around that time.
Yes.
Right around that time. So I'll tell you who I think it's going to be. And also, I think there's some like legend status at play here coming up. And I'll explain what I mean for the Tennessee Titans when we return. Morning Drive. By the way, Caleb on Twitter says, the new boyfriend dropped off my gift at my house and was like, sorry, bro.
Wow.
Cold-hearted.
Do you throw the gift back at him?
Probably.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's nice, keep it. All right, so,
how many carrots is this?
I think I've got the answer for who will be the face of the franchise. He might already be, and I think there's some legend status at play in the next few weeks. Should some things play out the way it might play out for the Tennessee Titans. We'll explain when we return. Morning Drive. Breakup music. Heartbreak music.
Well, this ain't really breakup music. This is
on the show today.
Heartbreak.
I mean, that's...
This is Lupe Fiasco.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
I told you I'm gonna sprinkle it in. I can't have it anticipated. It's got to be just they that hear that song and they're just like,
do you break up in musical form, yeah. Derek?
Hey, girl. Break up with somebody? Yeah, I was out with my boy Marquise yesterday,
and we followed you,
and we saw
oh my
you.
God, this guy got stalkerish
in the back
very
of Chick-fil-A.
Quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, Marquise would be, he's more of a Popeyes guy.
I saw you at Popeyes, girl.
You were standing outside waiting for that chicken biscuit.
I saw you and him.
I saw you and him fighting over that chicken sandwich.
You were in line for 2.5 hours.
And I just realized you just wasn't a girl for me.
Oh, man.
All right, so I misunderstood Caleb's tweet a little bit. So Caleb said,
but it's savage now.
Oh, it's savage now, yeah. So Caleb on Twitter says, so he didn't explain this well enough, but then he followed up with another tweet. So again, at 1025_MD, if you got broken up with on Christmas or around Christmas, the worst story, so far Alondra is in the lead because she had to move from Orlando to Clarksville to be with this guy, and then a year later on Christmas he broke up with her, and that's just terrible.
Gosh.
But so this is a pretty savage move, though. Caleb was dating somebody, and then his old girlfriend's new boyfriend dropped off the Christmas gift at his house, said, sorry, bro. But it turns out they were a nice. It was some nice clothes, so he used them to start dating her friend.
Kudos to you, buddy.
So he took a bad situation and made a positive out of it. So at 1025_MD, tweet us your breakup story from Christmas, and the winner will get a $100 gift card.
I'm mad at her for telling him where I live. That's one thing.
Yeah, don't tell the new boyfriend.
Yeah, don't be telling him where I live.
Yeah, that's not cool. All right, so who will actually be the face of the franchise? I think the most most popular and face of the franchise might be different.
Mm-hmm.
I think LaJuan's the face maybe right now, but I think the most popular player on the team, and I don't think it's even close, is Derrick Henry. Because of the position, the running back position, and the way he plays, when he touches the football, everyone stands up in the building. It's 22 carries a game, 18 carries a game, which, again, I told you guys all summer, there's no chance anybody can carry the ball 22 times a game. It's not the new NFL. And lo and behold, he's doing it. And
I said he would get 1,300 yards. I know I said that.
And I don't think anybody disagreed with you on that. I think we all believed he would have a really good season. He's having an even better season than I think people anticipated. So I think, Derek, if you were to like put all these Titans players around the city in like public appearances, I think the biggest crowd – sort of like political candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had rallies for Titans players all over the city, I think Derrick Henry's rally would be the biggest. I don't think it would be even close.
You might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong because of the region. You know, us being in the South, Derrick Henry playing in Alabama, a lot of Alabama fans here,
right.
I think they would love to, you know, get a picture or an autograph or just be around
Being
Derrick
a Heisman
Henry.
Winner is a
being
big
a Heisman
deal.
Trophy winner. That, I mean, a
Even
lot comes along with that. Taylor Lewan's no longer the face of this franchise. And it's no knock to him. It really isn't. He's just not the face. I think after the suspension and some of the things that were going on after the suspension, the penalties, everything else,
right.
I think he started to – it's kind of like a race. It's kind of like the political race.
Yeah.
One guy started to descend and the right, other guy started right. to ascend. Derrick Henry started to rise in the polls. Taylor Lewan started to go down in the polls.
Yep.
And then, oh, by the way, this no-name candidate comes out of nowhere.
So Ryan Tannehill is Pete Buttigieg.
Absolutely. He just comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, he's garnering all the votes. Everybody loves him. He's energetic.
Taylor Lewan is Joe Biden.
Yeah.
We're going to get
energetic.
So many people in trouble.
He's out there. He's pumping his fists. He's kissing babies, signing autographs, going on different shows.
Does that make Derrick Henry Bernie Sanders then? The guy who's just been at like 18% the entire time?
Derrick Henry is Bernie Sanders right now.
No, listen, if you put on highlight film, if you put on NFL Network, if you're playing Madden, if you're doing any of these things as a Titans fan, it's all about 22. It's 22 all the way. And let me add to it.
Uh-huh.
I think he can go from beloved, you know, fantasy player, beloved guy who's carrying a team to victories in 9-7 seasons. If they win the division this year and he carries this team to wins down the stretch like he's doing and he continues to do it against the Texans, which is going to be the game plan this weekend, while injured, if he does it and you can – because you could tell against Oakland that he was not healthy. There was one run in particular, I think it was like his 16th or 17th carry, and he broke it off. He went, you know, in between LaJuan and Big Raj, and he broke off about a 25-yard run sort of up the left hash. And you could tell when he got into space, he was not full throttle. Mm-hmm. You could tell he was not full 100%. He's just sort of, you know. And then he scores a second touchdown a couple carries later. And you could even then, you could tell, even though he finished the run and scored, he was not healthy. If he dominates and carries a team to the playoffs or a division championship on a bum leg, that's the stuff you write stories about. That's the stuff you tell your kids about. Remember the year that Derrick Henry with a bum wheel got us to the playoffs and a division championship? That's legendary stuff.
No, you're absolutely right. There's two guys that I think right now, at this point in time, that when you bring up the Tennessee Titans, if you bring up the Tennessee Titans to true football fans, I think they're going to say two names. They're going to say, man, Derrick Henry is running well. He is, man, that big fella is going. And then they will say, boy, I am glad Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback now. Right. They're going to bring up two names.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking about the novice fan, the first name I think they're going to bring up is Derrick Henry. They're going to say Derrick Henry. When you say Tennessee Titans, they're going to say Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Because right now, you're right. He's
on every highlight reel.
Yeah, he is probably the most beloved player because of what he's been able to do. And then people start to compare him to, you know, the great backs that we've had in his organization, whether it's Earl Campbell, even though I kind of separate the two, whether it's Earl Campbell or Eddie George. They start to compare him
but
to
Adams
those
refused
guys.
To, yeah, refused to acknowledge
absolutely.
That. It's one organization.
But they start to compare, you know, size, strength, speed.
Well, Eddie.
Yeah. I think he's.
Eddie's cut from a similar cloth.
I think
he's not
more
as fast,
so
but.
Earl Campbell than Eddie George from the
because
he has the speed of Earl Campbell.
I just mean Eddie was 6'3".
Yeah, he was just
know,
a big guy.
230.
Eddie wasn't a burner. He was just a load.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
he was a load to bring down. Once he got an open field, it was going to be hard to bring him down. He's more so of, to me, more so of the Earl Campbell type. Not as rugged as Earl, but he has the speed of Earl Campbell.
Well, and that's Eddie never had. Like, Eddie averaged, like, I want to say Eddie's career.
3.9,
like, yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like, it was not 4.0. It was not a 4 yards per carry average for his career. I want to say it was like 3.6 or 3.7. Derrick Henry is the all-time leading yards per carry back in Tennessee/Oiler history at 4.7 because he has the big playability. And so when you package Heisman Trophy, Alabama regional interest with...
He's a likable guy.
He's a good kid.
Good
likable
personality.
Guy.
I mean, now, he doesn't talk much, but he's just...
That's the only thing that keeps him. Like, if he had a Saquon Barkley type of personality where he's out there doing Campbell's Chunky Soup ads. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he had that level of personality, he'd be unstoppable as a brand.
Well, he shows some personality on the Heisman Nissan.
Yeah, that's true.
When the elephant was behind the bushes and pushing the alarm thing, he was like, ah.
Wasn't there another one where he's sitting there with Bo Jackson and like every time Bo, like Derek, like looks away for a second and like Bo runs to the car and back again and he's like, look, did you see Bo do it? And they're like, and he's like, no, I missed it, man. Cause Bo's too fast.
If you look
away, you miss Bo Jackson doing something.
Yeah, pretty
basically.
Much so.
No, I think it's not even close to me. Look, I'm looking, you know, listen, Tannehill is starting to creep into those highlight packages, right? He's starting like with the tackle last week, even though he acknowledges that's not what he wants to be known as because it was an interception that he probably should have avoided. But when he's throwing 91-yard bombs and throwing for 391 and, you know, setting records, like he's starting to creep into that territory. And certainly it's entering cult status for Ryan Tannehill. But we don't know how that story's going to end. We don't know if he's going to walk off and be somewhere else at the end of the year. We don't know if they're going to lose the division. I have a feeling Derrick Henry's back here almost 100%. Well, I think they both are, but the Tannehill thing, like, okay, I guess here's where I see it. It is going to be hard for Tannehill to replicate what he's doing right now over a 3-year contract. We've said that. I think Titans fans need to know that. It's going to be hard to do quarterback rating of 118 with a 73% completion percentage, go 7-1 over an 8-game stretch. Like, it's just going
to
be hard to replicate.
But to me,
that.
If he's a, even, you're right, because this is historic levels. But even if he's a top 10 quarterback in this league, then that's going to continue. That's going to continue to keep the Titans in the playoff. If he play like a top 10 quarterback or a top 12 quarterback in this league with the way Derrick Henry is running the football, the way that defense plays when they're healthy, then this team while he's quarterback for however long. I don't know how long it's going to be, because at the end of the season, those are the two most important free agents they need to sign, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. But as long as he's the quarterback, if he's a top 12 quarterback in his league, then they will be in the playoffs every year, barring injury.
Yeah, and I guess the difference for me between the two is even if Derrick Henry gets a big contract, mm-hmm. 4 years, $40 million or something, I expect the same. I don't think he's got that Chris Johnson thing in him where mm-hmm. he gets the contract and then stops playing.
I don't think Ryan has that either.
I don't think he can achieve at the same level, because I think it's irrational to expect him to do that. I don't think it's fair to Ryan Tannehill mm-hmm. to expect him to be the best quarterback in the NFL next year and the year mm-hmm. after for 3 years. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think Titans fans should expect that. But I think you can expect Derrick Henry to give you 1,300 yards every year because he's that good.
Yeah,
I just think he's that good, and again, I don't care what Tannehill does outside of a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know, which again would be insane. I still think Derrick Henry would be the more popular player. I still think fans are going to always gravitate towards Derrick Henry.
If they sign him, if they sign both of those guys back, best believe both of those guys will be on billboards
together around town.
That's where
they will be plastered around town
on billboards. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, both of them.
They are the reason that they are. Now, listen, the offensive line, we get it. There's a lot of reasons why they are where they are right now. But Tannehill and Derrick Henry are the two biggest ones, and there's no question about that. Tweet us at 1025_MD if you want to tell us a breakup story around Christmas. If you got broken up with, we'll give away $100 moment. So we'll try to take a bad story from your past to turn it into a positive experience today on the show.
We don't want to drum up any. I know it might drum up some bad memories, but you might get a gift card.
If it's bad enough, you might get $100 gift card to
Moments
a salon
peace.
And day spa. Moments Peace. So, also, the game text line is open as well, 615-737-1025. Injury report. Are we concerned? Derrick Henry did not participate. We had a couple of guys who did get back on the field, which is good news, and a couple of guys who didn't, which is bad. We'll explain, and we'll tell you what happened at practice on the injury report yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You are listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Titans-Texans coming up on Sunday. Injury report from yesterday. Derrick Henry did not practice. Adoree Jackson apparently was just on the stationary bike. Now, the foot mm-hmm. injury is not the same foot he had surgery on in the offseason, of course.
No.
Just to make sure we reiterate that. But Derrick Henry did not practice. I'm not sure, you know, if people are super worried about Derrick Henry right now. It doesn't feel like anybody really is. I think everyone's concerned that Adoree Jackson is not going to play again after, again, being on the stationary bike, not practicing for a while. I think the other interesting angle here, though, is LeSean Sims back on the practice field and limited participation, but he hasn't practiced in a while. I think there is some hope that LeSean Sims could play this weekend, which as much as, you know, we joke about the LeSean Sims mm-hmm. experience and it not necessarily working out as a starter, he still is a valuable depth piece who's been in the system for a while, and having him is better than not having him. But Ty Smith has made some big plays in each of the games the last couple of weeks, so he's obviously going to play. Tremaine Brock got some snaps, the new signing from last week. But I think the bigger one that not many people are talking about is Kenny Vaccaro.
Yes.
Kenny Vaccaro still in concussion protocol, which mm-hmm. is a concern. He could be cleared in the next couple of days and be on the field on Sunday. Concussions are weird. You're sort of just, you don't really exhibit symptoms for very long. It's a pretty mm-hmm. short recovery, but it's that second hit, mm-hmm. another concussion that can really hurt you if you start stacking them on top of each other. And there's really no way to prevent that if you're out on the field in general. So Vaccaro, I think the interesting one to me, if I had to guess, LeSean Sims plays, Adoree Jackson doesn't, Derrick Henry does, and Kenny Vaccaro is the one that I care about the most. Does he play or not on Sunday? Because he's the guy who could be a big time enforcer on Deshaun Watson when he gets into space.
Yeah, he's the guy that, you know, he's that guy that you can kind of interchange the two safeties, Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro. Now, if Kenny's not playing, then Amani Hooker comes in, Dane Cruikshank comes in. But they are not Kenny Vaccaro. To me, Kenny Vaccaro was one of the most important free agents that they had to sign a few years. Was it last year or the year before? The year before, I believe. They end up signing him because he gives you the ability To be multiple, he and Kevin Byard, they're interchangeable. Both of them can play in the box. Both of them can play in the center of the field.
I do think Vaccaro's more limited in the center of the field.
Yeah, I trust Kevin Byard a little bit more because of his range.
Yes.
And, you know, he's fluid in his hip movements. He's more so like a he's sort of like a corner to him and Amani Hooker kind of resemble one another in regards to what they can do on the field. Now, Amani Hooker has to get – he needs a little bit more seasoning, but
– There's not a lot of difference anymore in the NFL between either safety.
Nah.
But this particular set, I think there is a clear strong and free safety.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Byard's way more of a free safety, whereas Kenny Vaccaro is way more of a strong safety. But, again, when you've got a running quarterback
– you need that extra guy.
That guy that can come down into the box.
You need that extra guy. So, you know, against Houston, who, you know, can run the ball, and obviously they can throw the football – they have two wide receivers that can just flat out go get it. You know, Will Fuller is the speed guy. We know what Hopkins can do, and then Steele's in the middle of the field. That is going to be – they need Kenny Vaccaro out there. They need a healthy Adoree Jackson out there.
Yeah.
Having LaShawn Sims, it helps. But if they don't have Adoree Jackson – I still think they are at a disadvantage.
No,
so, you know, whether Vaccaro and Adoree plays this game, will determine to me how well the Tennessee Titans defense are able to, you know, stop or slow down this Houston offense.
Adam Humphries did not practice, neither did Darren Bates yesterday, so keeping an eye on Adam Humphries.
See, I'm not too worried about Adam Humphries because
Firkser
and Khalif Raymond
has come in and
they've given them really good minutes. They've come in and made some big plays.
Ben Jones and Jarrell Casey limited participation yesterday, and then Will Fuller for the Texans with the hamstring injury, also a limited participant in practice yesterday. So we'll keep an eye on that as it evolves throughout the course of the week. Real quick question as I was thinking about this matchup, because I really like – it's going to be hard to stop Deshaun Watson and the Texans' offense. They're pretty good. They're going to they run the ball well. They throw the ball well. They've got a dynamic quarterback. It all runs through him. They've got a number one receiver who might be the best on the planet. It's going to be hard to stop them, especially with a banged up secondary. But I also look at the Texans' defense, and we've cited the stats all week that they're just not pressuring the quarterback. They're not getting off the field on third down.
Secondary is not.
It's old.
It's okay.
It's older
and older, aging, yeah.
And the Titans feel like they sort of have, for the first time in a long time, a younger, more explosive receiving core with Brown and Davis. And we've even mentioned Anthony Firkser as a guy who's making plays now in space. I'm not as worried, and the game's at home, so I'm not as worried about the offense being good. I think if Derrick Henry can run, if his leg holds up and he can run, I think the offense will score points. I think it's more of a question, does the defense get a stop when they need it? Here's my question, though. Do you wish it would have been reversed as far as timing? Because I think it plays really well that this game is at home this week because they're banged up. I think that's going to help them as much as a home field advantage can, I guess. I also understand playing in week 17 at home being very valuable. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have the game be in Houston this week? Because they have not – that would stop all momentum potentially going down there when you're banged up. I think you can make the case for both angles. Does that make sense?
When the game should be? I wish this game was after the New England game for Houston.
Oh, right. Right. Yes, I agree with that.
Because Houston, I think they were on this high. And I think they put all of what they had into that New England game. And you saw what happened the next following game. I just think whoever they would have played, they wouldn't have played a good game because of how they played against New England. And they haven't been that team that has been consistently, you know, playing at a high level. They have done it at times, but it's always something that keeps Houston at 10-6 or 9-7. You know, something whether it's injury or what the head coach, it's always something that keeps either Indianapolis around to potentially win the division, or now the Tennessee Titans, because for all intents and purposes, Houston should have ran away with this division. They should have.
Oh yeah,
but they didn't.
No, and even Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle, when we talked to him, I believe yesterday, said that they let off the gas. Even the Texans players are like, yeah, we let off the gas, and Denver punched us in the face, and that's why they lost the game to Denver. And it's like, you're right. I wish. Because generally speaking, when a group of professional athletes gets embarrassed,
yeah,
they're going to come back and play better the next week. That's just how this league works. So I think this timing is interesting. Texans are going to bounce back from an emotional standpoint. The game's at home, but you're injured if you're the Titans. I can't decide if I'd rather have the home game now or the home game in Week 17. I think you can make the case for both situations. I think your point is the best. I wish the Titans would have played him last week. At 1025_MD for a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, $100. We're giving it away today, every day this week and next. The stories are, if you've been broken up with on Christmas in the past or around Christmas, tell us that story. And, hey, we'll try to turn that bad story and experience in your life into something positive. Ramal said on Twitter that he left a lady around Christmas time because she said forever, and I just thought about it. Forever's a long time. And then when she said it, it was like playing in slow motion in my head, forever. And I just wasn't ready for that. And he still has
I'm
her.
Not ready.
And he
no.
still and he still has her a present. Ramal, dude, you're not gonna win. You broke up with her.
Exactly.
It ain't gonna work that
she
way.
She said forever, ever, forever, ever.
Forever,
yeah,
ever.
You can't
ever.
Win. Now she needs to call in.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needs to tweet
at us.
I love you.
Tweet
I love
and
you.
At you.
I love you, Ramal. But you ain't the winner, man.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Preds back on the ice tonight against Buffalo in Buffalo. So we'll touch on that a little bit next hour. Also got some college hoop coming up. The biggest game in maybe the country coming up this Saturday. Going to be a lot of fun. However, where would Jeremy Pruitt rank now in the SEC coaching ranks? After what he accomplished this year and with the new names in the SEC, where would JP now be on your list of coaches in the SEC? We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive.